I'd like to reconvene the December 2008 meeting in the Marine Resources Commission. Next item on the agenda is Hampton Parks and Recreation, docket number 081542. Ms. Gallup? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hampton Parks and Recreation is requesting authorization to remove and replace the existing Sunset Creek boat ramp with a 32-foot wide by 100-foot long concrete dual-access ramp extending to minus 5 feet below mean low water with 2 6-foot wide by 90-foot long timber access piers. Dredge approximately 50 cubic yards of built-up material at the end of the proposed ramp adjacent to property at Marina Road situated along Sunset Creek in Hampton, and the project is protested by an adjacent property owner. The property is located on Sunset Creek. This section of shoreline contains a mixture of residential and commercial properties. The city is proposing to refurbish an existing public boat ramp. You can see it there, 2007 aerial, a close-up aerial view. They propose to, application drawing showing the location. This is what currently exists, showing what they're going to remove, and this is the proposed plan. They propose to remove the existing ArmorTech mat and replace it with a 32 by 100 foot concrete dual access ramp extending to minus 5 feet below mean low water. Remove the 2 existing timber access piers and replace them with 2 6-foot wide, 90 foot long piers. They'll be in the same location, they're just a bit longer. And install class 1 riprap tow protection at the end of the proposed ramp. This is to prevent washout that occurs due to the practice of power loading. The city is also proposing to remove approximately 50 cubic yards of built-up material out here at the end of the ramp to prevent it from being washed onto the adjacent property owner's riparian area. Cross-section showing the proposed concrete slab and the riprap tow. Cross-section of the piers. And cross-sections showing the tow. The city states in their application that this new ramp is being designed according to current Virginia Department of Game and Inland Fisheries recommendations for boat ramps. Ground view of the ramp as it currently exists. The ramp is here. Right next door is Blue Water Yacht Sales. In a letter dated November 25, 2008, Blue Water's attorney detailed their concerns about the project. As in past protests to any city work at this boat ramp, Blue Water maintains that Hampton agreed to sell them the boat ramp property if Blue Water agreed to restore a historic building on their property. Blue Water has restored the property and maintains that the city has not held up its end of the deal. Staff continues to maintain that this is a civil issue outside any commission jurisdiction or purview. The November 25th letter also details how the Sunset Creek boat ramp improvements will impact the use of Blue Water's travel lift, which you can see here, which is capable of handling vessels as long as 90 feet. Blue Water states that access to their travel lift is limited by the boat ramp as it currently exists, and should the proposed ramp improvements be considered or be constructed, it will prevent that use even further. Just 2 more pictures showing the city's ramp, Blue Water's piers out here. Blue Water's travel lift pier is approximately 9 feet from the proposed timber pier at the city's boat ramp. Blue Water asserts that their travel lift can accommodate vessels as long as 90 feet. However, the finger pier shown here on their pier adjacent to the lift is only 70 feet away from their travel lift piers. This finger pier also appears to extend 18 feet past the extended property line shown right here. And possibly into the city's riparian area. This requires vessels to navigate between it and the boat ramp to make their way to the travel lift. In essence, it appears that Blue Water may have a self-imposed hardship regarding access to their travel lift. In their shoreline permit application report, VIM states that the adverse marine environmental impact of the project is not expected to be significant. No other agencies commented on the project. In conclusion, based on the fact that the City of Hampton has continually applied for permits to maintain their boat ramp at Sunset Creek, staff believes the complete overhaul of the ramp is necessary. The extended concrete mat and removal of built-up material should help solve the problem of loose stone moving around at the end of the ramp. Staff also suggests that the City look into posting signs prohibiting power loading at the ramp or any measures that might help educate boaters about the problem. As a result, and after considering the protest by the adjoining property owner, as well as all the factors contained in 28.2-1205A of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends approval for the project as proposed. Be happy to answer any questions or go back over any slides.
Any questions of Elizabeth? Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One, how much further will the new ramp with the stone toe around the end of it encroach into the waterway channelward of the existing ramp?
This is where the ramp currently sits. It would go up. I'm not sure exactly what the distance is, but it's definitely out further.
Thank you.
Further questions of Elizabeth? Mr. Schick?
Yeah, the marina on the other side, have they commented?
No. No other property owners or neighbors along the creek have commented. Well, the adjacent property owner directly to this side is in support of the project.
Oh, he is? Okay. Mm-hmm. Is that a marina?
No, that's his private pier.
Okay. Just had about six boats there, so I guess, okay.
Further questions? Elizabeth, can we put up the picture that shows, I guess, proximity and the live shot orientation, please?
Did you want the drawing or the actual picture? The
actual picture. Further questions? Thank you, Elizabeth. Is the applicant present or represented? Good day, sir.
Good afternoon, Commissioner, members of the commission. I'm John Lane here on behalf of for McGuire Woods here on behalf of the city of Hampton.
Good to have you here.
Thank you. Hope you had an enjoyable lunch.
It was quick.
I'll be quick myself. The city, I've gotten involved in this recently because of the protest, and the city asked me to come and appear. I think the bottom line is we're dealing with a situation here where the city has tried to maintain this over the years and wants to now refurbish it as the boat ramp for the public to use. In the interim, you know, Mr. Hall has sort of created, we believe, a self-created hardship here where these piers have extended over into our area, to the city's area. And while we don't, you know, aren't here to talk about that, say today, and I want to reserve some time afterwards, after Mr. Hayes speaks on behalf of Mr. Hall, to talk about other issues raised, I think this is a fairly straightforward case of an application that's in the public benefit for a marina or a boat ramp for the benefit of the public. And you know, I think the staff has done a good job looking into it, and we'd respectfully request that you grant our permit application.
Okay.
Be happy to answer any questions and have representatives of the city and Landmark Design here as well.
Okay. Just real quickly, there's nothing pending in court now and dealing with riparian issues, apportionment,
no.
Encroachment, nothing civil that would impact the decision of this commission?
No.
Okay.
No,
thank you. Question, was it Mr. Fox? Did you have a question? Or Schick? I'm sorry.
How much further does this ramp go out further than the one that already exists?
I'd refer that to Fox.
We got to put you on record. Counselor, who are you going to have to testify?
This is James Brawley with Landmark Design.
Anyone else in the city?
Don Leavenworth is here representing the city.
Okay. Please rise. Raise your right hand. Solemnly swear the testimony that you'll give today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Help you God. Thank you. Counselor, if you put him back on record to answer that question that was just posed. State your name for the record, sir.
James Brawley, Landmark Design Group. I'm the agent for the city. Approximately 28 feet further beyond the toe of the existing ramp.
Now that includes the rock apron.
Yes, sir.
And why does it need to extend further on the state bottom? Why can't it come back into the land?
Well, as Elizabeth mentioned, there's been a long-standing practice of power loading on this ramp, and part of that is because it's at a very steep slope right now, and folks don't want to travel all the way down it for fear of getting stuck. So we've put it at a more gentle slope recommended in the Game and Inland Fisheries Manual for boat ramps, and that in order to get it out to deep water, we then need to extend it a little bit further to get it out there.
But you're going to be dredging.
Mr. Schick.
You're going to be dredging. Couldn't you accommodate your next-door neighbor by bringing it inland further and bringing the slope down?
We could potentially bring it inland a little bit further. That would require significant additional cost to provide retaining walls on the side to retain the earth in order to get the ramp sloped down into the water more quickly. The dredging is primarily to remove a mound of material that's built up due to the power loading. Several attempts at repairs have been made in the past, which utilized smaller size stone. The adjacent property owner has complained that stone is getting washed around onto his property and damaging boats, and we're looking to remove that material, as well as the hump itself caused by power loading.
Dr. McConaughey?
Yeah, I just have a question. What's the usage of this ramp? How many people use this ramp on a daily or weekly basis?
Yes, sir. State your name.
Leavenworth Parks. It is primarily the only boat ramp in the area, with the exception of Fort Monroe, that is open to the public and free. So we're getting, during different seasons and summer usage, I mean, you could be upwards of thousands of people during the weekend, during striper season and during summer months. It's pretty much main access to the Hampton River and then out into the Chesapeake Bay from this area.
Is there a huge parking lot that's not shown here?
Not huge.
Okay, I was just how you get thousands of people.
There's an adjacent parking ramp. I'm saying over weekend, though, they do use it a lot, and they park. There's another parking lot behind, around by the house, I believe. And it's, like I say, it's the primary boat dock that doesn't require security entrance, which is required at Fort Monroe. And then we've looked for alternate sources, but this is the only one we have in the area.
Further questions? Thank you, gentlemen. Do you have anybody else, counselor, that wants to speak on behalf of the project?
I believe that a neighbor, Mr. McGurl, is here, would like to speak on behalf of the project.
Okay.
I just support the project.
I need you to come forward and state your name. Raise your right hand, sir. Do you solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give would be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God?
I do.
State your name, please.
My name is Peter W. McGurl. I'm the adjacent property owner to the east. I own the property that shows the bent pier with the boats on it. To correct a question we have here, the property I own is zoned C3 commercial, and I have a small boat repair business there. It's not a private such. It's a private residence with a business there. And I have no objection to this. In fact, I bought the property to build the house there when the ramp was still there. It was there when I bought it, and I knew it. And I do not oppose the ramp. I have no problem with the people there. It is a very fine facility. They are very courteous and enjoy the ramp. And it is very heavily used. In addition to the recreational type activities in the summer, they also have the striper season, which goes all the way into this month here. And I do not oppose it. The only thing that I would say is, I think it's an excellent facility for the people of the city of Hampton. Should be retained and should be upgraded. The only other thing I'd have to say is I've been there since 1984 when I built my house and put my business in there. There's been three major attempts to improve the ramp, all of which were partial fixes that did not work, too steep, put rocks out there which tore up people's props and was done in kind of a half-foot manner. The plan they've got now has got the right gradient, gets out far enough, dredges, and takes away the rock, and I think this is the way to go. I support it.
Thank you, sir. Any questions, gentlemen? Thank you very much. Opposition here represented. Mr. Hayes, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Commissioner Bowman, Associate Commissioners. My name is Tim Hayes with Hunton & Williams. I'm here representing Blue Water Yacht. And I've got Mr. Earl Hall, one of the owners of Blue Water Yacht, also, who would like to speak. First, to answer Mr. Schick's question about the extent of the project into the river. If I could approach the...
Absolutely, sir. Thank you.
This has been prepared by Tom Langley, and it just shows the green. Green shows the existing footprint of the ramp, and the white shows what it'll look like after it's been expanded. We'd like to have that included in the record.
So noted.
Also, my November 25th letter that was referenced by Ms. Gallup, there are a couple of attachments to that letter that are very important to look at to put the context of the dispute between the city of Hampton and Blue Water in appropriate perspective for this case. And I'll get to that in a minute, but first thing I'd like to say is that Blue Water understands that this ramp at the present time is important to allow public access to this area for boating. They don't dispute the existence of the ramp, at least temporarily. They don't dispute the city's need to improve the ramp. It's in terrible shape. And the rock on the bottom of the river that's been referenced has caused damage to boats coming and going from Blue Water's facilities as well as to several others. So they don't object to the city repairing the ramp and making the ramp stable and usable. The problem is, I know the staff refers to this as a civil issue, the fact that the city committed in writing to Blue Water to transfer this property to them in exchange for Blue Water fixing up the Herbert House on their property. Where things are right now is the Herbert House has been fixed up. The city is supposedly looking for another location for a boat ramp, and when they do find another location, suitable location, they will convey, or at least they've said they're going to convey, the property to Blue Water for a fair price. As I understand it, I've spoken with an attorney in this area who represents Blue Water who says that the company is getting ready to take action to enforce their legal rights. I'm not involved with that, so I can't get into the details of it. But the problem is that by simply treating this as a civil issue and saying, well, we'll treat the city's permit application apart from that background fact, they're really asking the commission to take sides in this case, because if you look at the existing footprint of the ramp and compare it to what the city wants to do, for the city to take the position that, yes, at some point in the future we're going to convey this property to you, but in the meantime we're going to go into this large capital project to upgrade this ramp, expand it, harden it, make it very difficult to remove if and when the property is conveyed to Blue Water. And at the same time, the city is accusing Blue Water of encroaching into the riparian area and implying that if only Blue Water would remove some of its piers, that this access problem wouldn't exist. Seems to be at odds with the city's position that, yes, we're going to convey this property to you at some point in the future. Blue Water has been expecting and is acting in good faith for the last 5 years to try to get this property. But moving forward with this permit application as presented, I think will move us away from that approach. Now, there are alternatives to the project. One of them was mentioned by Mr. Schick. Another alternative would be simply making the project smaller and not expanding it further into the river. But we think that the commission, while there is no dispute with the city over the ability to keep a boat ramp open in this area for the people of Hampton, we think the commission, by granting the city's request at this point, will essentially close the door on this deal, this agreement between the city and Blue Water Yacht, and foreclose what Blue Water Yacht has entered into in good faith. I'd like to introduce Mr. Earl Hall, who's one of the owners of Blue Water, and ask Mr. Hall to explain a little bit about their situation, and then I'd like to reserve a couple minutes to speak after Mr. Hall, if I might. Yes. Are there any questions before I step down?
Any questions of Mr. Hayes?
One quick question. Just from penciling this out, it looks like that there's only about a 13-foot wide corridor that would be accessible to the travel lift between the boat ramp and the finger piers. I don't know if you've looked at that, and maybe Mr. Hall can talk to that.
Perhaps. I haven't figured it out on paper, but.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
Mr. Fox.
I think we were given to believe by Ms. Gallup that the adjoining piers to the ramp would be in the same location that they are now, and your drawing shows that the one on the right of the picture would be in a different location.
There would be they would the way that the ramp is now. There's a pier, there's a ramp, and then there's an interval in there that you can see where there's a pier next to the ramp. What they want to do is expand the ramp over further to the right, eliminate that pier, and expand the ramp all the way over, and then put in a new pier further over to the right, if that's the one you're talking about.
That's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. I guess I was under the impression that the piers will be in the same location. But
no, that's not my understanding, and that's certainly not what's shown on the plan drawing.
It's certainly not what's on your drawing.
No. This was based strictly on the application materials. I mean, what's shown here is kind of taking those two pictures that you were shown by the staff and overlaying them on each other.
Further questions? Thank you, Mr. Hayes. Mr. Hall, you solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Yes, sir.
You state your name for the record, please.
My name is Earl Hall. I'm a principal in Blue Water Yachts, which operates a sales service and some new construction business next door to the Hampton Boat Ramp. I think this picture is handy. And I've got another one that I'd like to pass to the commissioners, if I may. And what I want to impress upon you, first I might share a little bit of history, and I'll be brief, but then I want to impress upon you how critical access into this triglyph is to our into our daily activity of business. And without that access, we literally are shut down. First of all, this facility was permitted by the Corps of Engineers in 1959 to include piers both on the east and west side of our dock.
Can somebody give him a pointer? I want a good orientation of this, if I possibly can.
Is this one here?
But is that it, Elizabeth?
Okay.
Why don't you walk us, if you would, for complete orientation, starting from the left, going to the right, where your piers are, where the travel lift travels, and where the boat route. Just give me the full picture.
All right. In the interest of time, can I picture and give you this? This is a picture of what is daily activity for us in this boatyard facility.
I will have to keep this for a period of 33 days. Is all right? Okay.
We're in essence a mini shipyard, and we support the sales activity of our company, which is held at a marina that's a quarter of a mile east over here by where Dr. McConaughey is sitting, if you had the whole picture. And so every boat that we sell, we service. And then for years on, we continue to service it. And this is the facility that does each and every bit of that. Now, this pier here is our westernmost property boundary. We have a neighbor over here that is a whole other subject that you folks are very familiar with. So we're kind of there's an imaginary wall there, if you will. This pier is the pier that was permitted and constructed in 1959, and when it was permitted, it had slips on the east side as well as the west side. Also in 59, this triglyph pier here and here were not that exact pier. There was a dual triglyph facility actually between this line and the property line of here. The triglyph machine is this white piece right here, and it drives out on these piers here to pick up these boats. As Elizabeth said, the distance from here to here is pretty limited. It's like 70 some feet. So when you see the size of the boats in our facility or in the photograph that I handed you, in order to get in, they have to come in here and bend around and kind of come in here at an angle. Very tight, very, very tight on a good day. In fact, so much so that when Mr. McGurl, our neighbor here, built his home that you see there, he voluntarily canted that pier. His original desire was to build the pier straight just because it's more aesthetically pleasing. And he recognized what a log jam it is, and so he built the pier at an angle. The issue is that, and this whole thing started 2 or 3 years ago when the city was making some attempts to band-aid the boat ramp, and they were coming in dumping number 3 stone down the ramp out of dump trucks. And this practice that you've heard to refer to as power loading is, like it or not, the common practice of how boats today go on boat trailers. And when I was a kid, it was a 14-foot boat on a boat trailer. Today, it's a 26, 28-foot boat on a boat trailer, and you don't see somebody up there cranking it on. You see the guy at the wheel with the engines full throttle pushing the boat up on the trailer. So that situation's going to exist, like it or not. So when they dumped those rocks in there, the power loading forced a mound out here, a mountain, if you will, of stone over a period of time that we have dealt with since then. Now, I support the fact that the city should and needs to deal with that issue of the rocks. It's been a problem not just for us, but also for the people using the boat ramp. Our concern is that should the ramp extend any more channelward, and I think Mr. Hayes covered the civil aspect of this thing. I'm not even going to get into that, but just from the aspect of fixing the ramp, which aside from the civil issue, we don't have a problem with the city fixing the ramp. My issue is that I don't want to see the ramp come any more channelward, and as I understand the application, I think Mr. Schick asked this question, and I might mention, even though this thing was permitted and built in 59, we've only owned the property since 79, but for the most part, I've been there 6 or 7 days a week forever since 1979, so I know this thing like the back of my hand. There are two ramps here. That's one ramp, and this is actually another ramp here, with that right where my pointer is being the city's property line. Their permit call or their application calls for moving this dock here east to the property line, widening the ramp, and extending these piers out. So when talking about the extension of the ramp, more so than the extension of the ramp is my concern about the extension of the piers, which would in essence build a fence that comes out here, which would absolutely limit us from being able to haul these boats. As you see, that's a typical day of whenever the aerial shot was taken, but that's typical of what we have sitting at our pier for service. Now, to not part of service is in fact, most of our service, the boat has to come upwind to work on it. In fact, if that picture's been passed around, you'll see it goes indoors, inside buildings. Now, there have been two iterations of permits that this commission has authorized us with. This travel pier here was first upgraded in 1984 with a permit from you, and then again in 88 for the larger machine that's here now, which will lift 100 tons. We have, I won't say on a regular basis, but on many occasions, haul boats in the 90-foot range, 90, 92 feet. It is a squeeze getting in there. More typically, we're in the 50 to 75-foot range, but our capabilities do allow us to haul the bigger boats, and we would probably be limited to hauling a 45-foot boat should this thing get built per the application. I think as I studied the drawing on the application, it's a little confusing because it doesn't really show the true impact of what this expansion would be. Which is why we had Mr. Langley do that overlay of the green ramp, which is existing, and the white ramp, which is the proposed. I think that's all I have on the subject, but when you consider this thing, you know, my position is that should this come out any further towards the channel, then it's basically shut us down. And as a, you know, we've always viewed ourselves as a good partner with the city. We employ somewhere between 95 and 100 people in this facility and its adjacent facility where the sales are done. We provide a lot of jobs in the community, pay a lot of taxes to the city, and really are a little surprised when we got this application in the first place because of our pending deal, but more so because of how they would want to negatively impact a business that I think is very positive in the community.
Let's see, I'm going to start down this end this time. I'll start with Mr. Tankard.
When I read through some of staff's commentary, they mentioned that you, Blue Water, assert that the travel lift can accommodate 90 feet, which you've mentioned. Mm-hmm. However, the finger pier on their pier adjacent to the lift is only 70 feet. Is that 70 foot, does that any way encumber you now?
Well, I think what Elizabeth was saying, and Elizabeth, correct me if I'm wrong, if you measure from the end of our travel lift dock to here, she says that's 70 feet. I've never measured it. I think it might be a little more than 70 feet, but let's take it at 70 feet. When the boat comes in, the bow of the boat sticks up into this hole, into this travel lift well. And then when we're dealing with a 90-foot boat, we literally put men on the end of this pier and pull the stern of the boat around manually to line it up with the travel lift well and then slide the boat in, you know, in linear fashion. So it's tight. I mean, it's so tight that rarely does a boat owner ever operate his own boat putting it in there. They'll bring the boat to the facility, and they'll step off and say, no mas, and they'll put one of our staff members on there to put the boat in.
Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Hawk, can you give us a sense of how much business activity or volume revolves around this travel lift?
Well, it's the core of what we do, and so most of our boats are too large to ever get to us by land, you know, via truck. So they leave the manufacturer by water, come to us, and the first thing we do when the boat gets to us is take the boat out of the water and either put it on the hard or put it inside in order to start our commissioning work or our customizing or outfitting. And then after that, whether it be bent propellers or running gear work or simple maintenance or a repower job, if we're putting new engines in or whatever, again, the boat has to come out of the water and go inside. So to quantify that, we sort of track what we do in our different travel lift facilities to see, you know, just to know the numbers on them. This facility hauled somewhere just over 700 boats last year. We service around 2,500 a year in this facility, but they don't all have to come out of the water. For minor service, you don't come out of the water. For major service, you do come out of the water. So there were over 700 round-trip haulings done in this travel lift well last year. That answers your question.
And isn't it true that you haul foot as well?
You mean the charge? Absolutely. But especially in today's economic times, and I know that's not y'all's position to support our economic burden, but the boating activity that's still going on today are the larger boats. Our small boat business is virtually shut down. I mean, it literally is flatlined. And so to limit the ability to get these larger boats in essentially would constrict, it would come at a high cost of jobs, bottom line.
Mr. Sheik.
Now, so you have two concerns, it seems like to me. One is the extension of the piers on the boat ramp. And two is the depth of the boat ramp itself extending into the corridor where the boats come into. Now, you said your primary concern was the pier itself more than... Now, I can't really tell from this, what kind of depth do you need and how wide of a corridor do you need to bring these boats in?
Admittedly, it's a tight squeeze, as Mr. McGurl would agree by the fact he can't at his dock. At low tide here, at a normal low tide, we probably have no more than 6 feet of water. This is a high silting area. The only reason that we're even able to get the boats in and out of, keep forgetting where the button is, in and out of this slot right here, is simply because of the traffic of them. If we ever quit doing it for very long, the silting would certainly create a shoaling problem. When the boat approaches the travel lift dock, the stern of it, which is where the propellers are, swings over in front of the area of the city boat ramp, over into here. Admittedly, when you look at this thing and look at projected riparian lines, it's a mess. But it's a mess that was created when I was 2 years old in 1959, and the boat ramp didn't exist. So at face value, I'll be the first to tell you that it looks like the city's been squeezed, but the city came in and built the ramp in front of an existing facility. So these propellers have to drift over this way Getting the mound of stone out would be a help. A 5.5 foot negative would not be enough. We would hit bottom with a 5.5 foot negative. If in a perfect world, well, first of all, I don't want to see the ramp extend at all channelward. But if the slope was such that the ramp was deep enough that the propellers could pass over it,
right,
then that would be one thing. But there's no reason at a boat ramp to ever have a 6 foot negative. Right. I mean, a trailer boat would be submerged to the gunwales with a 6 foot negative. So there's no reason to put the ramp out that far, is my point.
So you need a 6 foot draft.
I need a minimum 6 foot draft.
Which this the no part of this ramp, including the apron, would be able to provide a 6 foot draft.
Well, and if you ran the ramp out that far and didn't have piers to service the ramp, the wood frame pier to service the ramp, then the ramp again is useless sticking out that far.
Right.
And to put the wood pier out that far, again, as I said, basically builds what I call a fence right here.
Right.
It's a sour pill for me. I know you guys are not here to hear my civil side of it, but as Mr. Hayes said, I would support what I'm going to call a Band-Aid repair on the ramp to enable us time to figure out what the ultimate disposition of this bigger problem is with regards to ownership of that property.
Oh. And now you see the ramp being used all the time. If the ramp were paved and dredged and it's at its existing grade and length, basically that's what they've been using since it was built, and it would still be able to be very usable in your opinion from watching.
Yes,
what they
but
did.
No, and I'm going to introduce another photo if I may.
See,
this picture is from 1982, 3 years after we bought the property. And the only reason I'm giving you that is it shows the dimensions of the ramp from the parking lot perspective. When this ramp was built, and I think that was in the late 60s, boating was different from what boating is today. I don't mean to put my back to you. You know, you had a guy pull up with a station wagon and a 14-foot boat behind it, and he could drive down the parking lot of the ramp, make his U-turn, and then back into the water. Well, boats today, on the average, are much larger for the average trailable boat. So when you see the constriction that this parking area for the ramp puts on it, most people have to turn their boat around up by the street and back it all the way down the ramp in order to have room, because there's not room to U-turn at the end of it. In terms of the volume of the ramp, certainly striper fishing has increased its use periodically. But to say that the ramp is used thousands of times a weekend is a significant exaggeration. I must tell you that the ramp is used on the average of a dozen times a day for a round trip during striper season. Other days it may be used two or three times. Summertime activity is heavier, probably a little heavier summertime use than striper season, but I don't ever remember a time that you would see more than a dozen and a half round-trip launchings and retrievals in a given day. The one thing that I will agree with the city, Hampton needs access for boaters to get to Hampton Roads. And what I mean by that, we have a wonderful ramp at Goslin Hope Park. We have a wonderful state-owned ramp that I'm sure you folks are well familiar with out by Factory Point. But if you have a northeast wind blowing, no small boater can really go use the Chesapeake Bay. They can come into Hampton Roads and fish Hampton Bar and whatnot. So there is a need for boaters to go come and go in and out of Hampton Creek. I fully support that. Just don't support growing this one.
Further questions, Mr. Fox, and then Mr. Robbins.
Mr. Hall, I believe you said that one of your concerns was if the pier, the city pier on the left, were extended beyond your travel lift pier on the right, then that would be a problem. But the Langley and McDonald drawing here does not show that it's extended beyond your travel lift pier. It shows it in equal to. So is it really is that pier really going to be a problem for you? Now, I'm not talking about the depth of the ramp and all that.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Doesn't the application call for a 50-foot extension?
Just to clarify, you are correct. These two existing timber piers are being removed. This one is being put back in the same spot, but longer and equal to Blue Water's piers. This pier is being removed and being moved further to the right. You are correct about that. This will be a bit wider than what currently exists. This pier on the left is in the same location, and you can see that it's equal to what Blue Water currently has.
Elizabeth, is the drawing on the right, I'll understand it's dimensioned. Is the drawing on the right drawn to scale?
Is this correct? No, can't be.
Further questions?
Yeah.
This is Mr. Robbins.
Mr. Hall, I just want to be clear. When your counselor was speaking on the issue, he said that you weren't opposed to the maintenance of the ramp itself. You've again stated that, I think. In essence, the biggest issue is the channelward extension of the structure. I mean, that would be what would... create a potential conflict in terms of use of the general area. So, would you be opposed to, notwithstanding your civil issue, would you be opposed to reconstruction of the ramp in the existing footprint or repairs to the ramp within the existing footprint?
I would not be opposed to that in its existing footprint. I would welcome the mitigation, if that's the right word, of the mountain that's been built out in front of it.
The dredging specifically.
The dredging specifically.
Right.
But I can't divorce myself. I've really tried to divorce myself of getting into the civil issue in front of you.
I'm glad you brought that up, because one thing that's for certain, I've discussed it with counsel. We're at a juncture now where we weren't going to discuss civil. There is evidence that is in the packet in letter form that indicates there is some type of civil dispute. There's also the argument that has been broached that by virtue of the commission taking action, it may bolster one position or the other as far as tipping the scale in civil court. I'm a little concerned about that. When this is going to be, or if this is going to be litigated, or if it is or not, I'm not certain, but we keep bringing up the civil issue of it and the specter of a civil issue. I don't want this commission to do anything at this juncture that would tip the scale to give the benefit to one side or the other. I want to make sure of that. Now, neither council has, we haven't really gotten into the civil aspect of it. If I were certain that this civil issue were to be litigated within the next several months, as we are now in December and boating season doesn't start again pretty good till March or April, if it were going to be litigated and something occur between now and then, I would say it'd be a good idea to table the whole application until we can figure out what's going on from the civil perspective, because the civil thing is, I keep hearing, it's really not here. But, boy, it is here. When you start reading through the documents and reading the history that goes back to 2004 with documents from Huffman and Huffman and other counsel, it's there. It's definitely there. So I just want to make sure that we don't go down the path of doing something at this juncture that would tip the scale one way or the other as it applies to a civil matter.
May I comment?
I'd like for counsel to comment first. Okay. He has to me, and he's got some ideas, and we can put this before the commission, and then we'll figure it out. We can continue or whatever.
Well, actually, I don't have any great ideas.
Well, Fred Fisher used to say the best answer is there is no answer. So,
well, the first thing is the civil issue is not before the commission. There may be some impact on the civil issue by what the commission does, but even if the commission takes an action, it is not going to legally bind and cause the private litigation, should it occur, to tilt one way or the other. I mean, it looks like a contract issue to me, and to the extent that there is a contract and litigation is initiated in order to bring the contract to fruition, even if the commission issues a permit, it may well be possible to seek an injunction to preserve the status quo and prevent the actual construction until that litigation is taken care of.
All right.
Mr.
Mr. Bowman?
Yes, Mr. Hall.
As I said, I have tried to divorce myself of the civil side, but certainly more so today, given the economic climate that we all live in. I can't get the practical side of this out of my head. The practical side is, should the city spend, and I've seen their estimate for what they think this job will cost. I've been involved in marine construction all my life, and I think their estimate is low. But should the city spend a couple $100,000 fixing this ramp or rebuilding this ramp? No matter how much you try to only focus on the legal side of it, it taints the ultimate outcome when you've got council members in tough economic times looking at the fact that the road has been paved with a couple $100,000 spent in the repair of this ramp, how they then reverse the decision, so to speak, and act on what may be a contract issue, as council says, it prejudices my ultimate outcome. And I'm scared of that. If that was never on the table, I'd only be standing here saying, let's build this ramp, just don't encroach any more channelward. But what I'm really saying is let's do minimal amount until we figure out where this thing ultimately is going to go. I apologize. I've tried to steer away from the civil side, but when we did what we did to restore this house, and this was a joint venture between ourselves and W.M. Jordan Construction Company, we didn't just put a coat of paint on this house to restore it. There's been $1.5 million spent in this house to restore it.
Good.
Two, on a 99-year lease, turn it back to the citizens of Hampton to use as something like a Waterman's Museum. So there's more to this story than just can fit in the packet. And I stand before you telling you that we as a company and us as individuals, in that case, truly feel as though we've been robbed by the city.
Okay.
And now this is insult on injury.
Okay. All right, well, we'll continue down the path and go from there. Any further comment, Mr. Schitt?
Just when it goes to council.
Okay. All right. Did you say just before it goes to the commission?
Yeah, before it goes, after it goes to the commission.
Okay, you said the council.
That's
all right.
Thank you, John.
Battling my own government.
Mr. Hayes, did you want to wrap up with that, and then we'll have rebuttal?
Just very briefly, thank you. The only thing I would say, and again, without getting into the merits of the civil action, because certainly we didn't intend to do that, I didn't mean to imply that a judge would be bound by whatever came out of here. What I meant to imply was, and I think Mr. Hall certainly explained it, if the nature of the property has changed so much, and then they go to buy it and they've got another couple $100,000 in it.
I understood that aspect of it as well.
That's all I wanted to say.
Okay. Anybody else in support of this project? Or in opposition? Long day. Counselor, been very patient today. Thank you very much.
I guess it's a couple of things. First, has been pointed out, the pier extension is just going to be as far as the travel lift. So that doesn't seem to be an issue. I also heard Mr. Hall to say that this project would shut him down. I don't think that's correct, because I understand that there's about 3 feet out there now, and the two things that keep this channel open are probably the boats going in and out of the boat ramp and, you know, in addition to, he says, pulling the yachts through. But to address the civil side, because I think I hear you have concerns about it, so I want to address it, which mainly is to say that the commission's action today has nothing to do with whatever civil action Mr. Hall may or may not have. As I understand it, there's no agreement. There's an agreement or a resolution that said something to the effect of, when we find a viable alternative, we'll sell you the boat ramp. And so,
excuse me.
And that's a resolution of council. There's no agreement. This could go. It could be 27 years from now, or it could be next year. Mm-hmm. So your action doesn't prejudice Mr. Hall at all in that respect. If he has a valid legal case, as someone, Mr. Josephson pointed out, if he feels that way, he can seek an injunction saying this will prejudice me and don't build your ramp. And I think that's a valid civil alternative for him. But your jurisdiction doesn't affect what is going to happen with Mr. Hall's claim that he thinks he has against the city. And I don't think delaying serves the purposes of the citizens, because it just keeps Band-Aids on the boat ramp. As I understand, that's part of the problem, too, is that it causes stonewash. So the idea is, let's build a good ramp. The extension is necessary because that's the way that works under the Game and Inland Fisheries standards. We're building it to those standards. And I just want to point out, too, as we feel a little put upon it all, want to pass out something. I've got a copy here of the 2005 permit as I listened to Mr. Hall talk about you know, what's happened and being squished by the city. And I'll bring this up to show you. But the 2005 permit that Blue Water received, and I'll pass this up,
please,
shows the pier. I mean, this, I'm sorry, Jim, I only have one copy, so let me show you this.
But this is, you might as well be a pier. That's going to restrict the boats. Right. You can't do anything.
And the city should be required to address that stuff because they put that thing illegal. Yeah, they had that bad weather man down there. Remember that?
We'll have to keep it.
And the only point, I don't know how to get back, Elizabeth, to that aerial, because that's what I'd like to talk about here. The permit that I've just given you was issued to Blue Water in 2005 and was for the center pier. And when you look at this permit drawing that's passed down, you'll see this is not shown as a structure at all in 2005. So at some point, this was constructed. The L-shaped pier doesn't show the same length. This was built further. Either the drawing is wrong in 2005, and maybe to the length, but this pier wasn't there at all. So I'm not sure when this pier was added, whether it was added with commission authority or not. And both of these, when you look at this extended property line, I mean, they are sticking right out into the city's area. Now, we didn't really want to get into that because we want to be good neighbors. We want to work with them. We, you know, the city respects their business. But nonetheless, it's a little insulting to be accused of all these things and without taking some responsibility for why there are some hardships there or why it is a tight squeeze. It seems like everyone has been working along here. You know, Mr. McGurl canned his dock, and we're going to try to move our stone. But I think once our project is built, this travel lift will still be usable. If it really isn't, then perhaps this pier that maybe shouldn't be there in the first place could be moved. But from the point of view of the city is, they're trying to fix a problem that has been a headache for, as I understand it now, several years. And this is the way, after they looked at it, said this is the way to do it. We're throwing money at it, and problems keep occurring. Let's fix it. Whatever is going to happen with Mr. Hall and the transfer of the property will happen. This doesn't prevent it. So I just want to be clear about that. I think this really is, we've met the requirements of the statute for the permit. I think we have a good permit application and a good public benefit. And again, I'd take any questions, happy to discuss any of this with you, but I think that I'd ask the commission not to defer, but ask the commission to vote today and approve our project as presented.
Any other questions for council?
Well, I would just like that something that hasn't come out since he's brought this little dock up, and it's not on the drawing. The stone shouldn't have been put there to begin with. And if I remember correctly, the city was in violation of disturbing Sylvicus bottoms.
I think they, by the time and, they had a right to do a, right. a maintenance, so, and they're fixing that.
So all of those types of things, you know, are really not germane to what we're talking about.
Well, today. Except for the pier is. If you're talking about a hardship, then I believe the pier probably is. I mean, if part of the, in terms of getting how you get in and out of that travel lift. But again,
but they have permits to put boats there of that length. So whether it's a pier or a boat or pilings like they are, they have a permit to do that. So that's not an imposed hardship, and the pier is not germane to the situation.
Well, I respectfully disagree.
Okay.
Mr. Fox.
May I ask Carl a question?
You may.
Should we consider the fact that if you have the property, the left property line of the city property extended, that all of the boats going to the travel lift have to cross over into the city of Hampton's area?
No, that's navigation. That's different from the riparian right to construct piers and what have you. Anybody can navigate almost any place in the area.
Okay.
Dr. McConaughey?
I had a question for the city engineer. What's the life expectancy of this ramp?
The ramp is concrete. It'll sit in the water for probably 25 to 30 years. minimal reinforcing in it. There's really not much that's going to degrade with it. The timber piers themselves are slated to be standard 2.5 CCA treatment. Again, 20 to 25 years.
Further questions?
But it can come out.
I'm sorry, Ms. Fox.
Once put in, it can be removed.
You've heard Mr. Hall's comments about the length of the pier. Is there any way that you could, not the pier, the ramp, is there any way you could shorten the ramp other than Mr. Schick's concept of moving the whole thing back and digging out?
Certainly, we can shorten the ramp, and the primary method of doing that without bringing it landward, as Mr. Schick suggested, would be to simply bring it to a shorter depth. The depth that Game and Inland Fisheries recommends as a minimum is -4. Now, we can shorten it up a little bit and bring it down to a -4 depth, but as Mr. Hall mentioned, he says he needs a minimum of 6-foot depth, I believe. So there's only 3 foot out there now with the shoal, and they're working around that just fine. If bringing it to a 4-foot depth would satisfy them, I think that would be a reasonable accommodation. We felt that the 5-foot depth would help prevent further power loading or need to power load, give them a shallow slope that they can get their vessels up onto the trailers a little more easily without the fear of losing their trailer out over the edge of the ramp. But Mr. Hall's also right. Power loading nowadays is pretty much standard, and everybody does it. So we tried to anticipate that in the design as Game and Inland Fisheries recommends.
How much would you shorten the ramp if you went only to -4?
Go back to the profile view, if you would please, Elizabeth, and the pointer. You can see -4 there. It wouldn't provide a whole lot of shortening there, going to a -4 elevation as opposed to a -5 elevation.
Yeah.
It appears that it would shorten it up maybe 10 feet.
Further questions? Thank you, John. Councilor Zeller, you had. Thank you. Matters before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Fox.
I guess I'm not uncomfortable with the city's proposed finger pier on the left, because it does not extend beyond the travel lift. I would be happier to see the ramp the 10 feet back and going to -4 instead of -5. But I'm willing to listen to discussion from others.
Mr. Robbins, discussion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think this is a matter of trying to manage and balance competing uses of a very, very tight space, certainly.
Right.
The city, I think, has documented a case for needing to improve the ramp. Public access is certainly very important. And yet, this is roughly 10 feet away from what is obviously a very busy commercial business. And I think Blue Water, in their opposition, has effectively made a case for the importance of the travel lift as it relates to the service business there. This is one of the most significant sport fishing service yards in the region, really. And there is a lot of activity. As Mr. Hall said, there are over 700 boats a year hauled out there. So this is obviously very central to that business. I think it's imperative that whatever we approve doesn't encroach on that commercial activity. I think we should facilitate the improvement of the ramp, but it shouldn't encroach on the commercial activity. And I would think that if we're going to approve the replacement of the ramp, that it would be limited such that there would not be any additional channelward encroachment of the ramp.
Further comment, Mr. Schick?
I just see a situation here where In my opinion, this whole setup, upland, is not adequate for larger vessels to be using this ramp. This ramp was made in a day when the vessels were smaller, and
I know that we're really primarily concerned with the subaqueous bottom, but also that the use and the whole general process does come into play. There's not sufficient parking. There's not sufficient turnaround area. This whole area is not designed properly for these types of vessels to be put in and out, and to put this kind of money would be throwing good money after bad in my situation, especially if you know, that's aside from the whole other issue about, you know, the house and this type of thing. Also, I view government's role is to provide a safe, secure environment for us to live and work. And to impugn on a business and to take anything away from them that they legally have a right to use and do, to me, it is unfair and is not good government. We spend thousands and thousands of dollars, tens of thousands, in some areas statewide, millions of dollars on bringing new business in. But we always seem to forget, just because a business is here, we're not held hostage. And governments should take the same care in the businesses that are already exist in their community as they do in trying to bring in new businesses. And I would support that if they want to repair the existing area that's shown in green on this Exhibit 1 and move the pier over to the right, that if they want to spend that, fine. But I really think that finding an appropriate site for this facility for the long term is the best use of public funds and the best use of state bottom.
Further discussion? Mr. Tankard.
I agree with Mr. Schick. What I understood also listening to Blue Water is that they're not just rehabbing old boats. They've got a big business in these large yachts, and as they come from manufacturers to outfit them for further use. And he's employing quite a few people. So I make a motion, that we allow Hampton Parks and Recreation to replace the existing Sunset Creek boat ramp to its existing Channelward location and no further, and also be allowed to increase the length of their piers to the 90-foot long timber so that they have proposed. But again, my motion is for no further encroachment of the ramp into the Channelward location.
Second by Mr. Robbins. Further discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Robbins.
Thank you. I just want to make sure when the maker of the motion was speaking of the length of the piers that they would not be allowed to extend beyond the length of the travel lift, the adjacent travel lift, yes. as depicted in the Langley drawing?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And furthermore, that the motion would be contingent upon receiving acceptable drawings to staff, an amended application that's acceptable to staff.
Okay. Further discussion.
Also, to clean up the rock that's channelward in front of the ramp.
Mm-hmm. I think didn't we take some action on that earlier or not?
I thought so. Yes, sir.
I thought we had taken Elizabeth. Please help me.
Sure. The city had originally applied in 2005 to put down some bedding stone and an articulated concrete mat at the end of the boat ramp because there were holes. People power loading their boats caused that stone to be washed out further. The city believed that under their current 2005 permit they could go in and remove that stone, which is when we brought them in for the violation. So, yes, I believe some of it has been removed, but, I mean, just based on this drawing, there's some still out there, and you can see it at a very low tide sticking up above the water.
Okay, the maker of the motion, accept that?
Yes, I would.
Bring that stone up, seconder.
And that needs to be done prior or conjunction or in conjunction to building rebuilding the ramp. Is that what you had intended? Yes.
Yeah. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you all very much for your project.